Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen. The MSS crew would like to once again thank you for joining us here in the Fred Bertelsen Memorial Old Time Radio Room of RadioOutOfThePast.org. Today's date is Saturday, February 14th, 2015. And this is your heart-shaped host, Luis Jr., assisting with bringing to you another exciting and romantic broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. Well, folks, as promised, we are back again on this day, Valentine's Day, 2015. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're out there, you know, snuggled up with that person, that special someone that you love so much, because I know I am. Why don't we get things rolling here by allowing me to introduce the presenter for tonight's program. Just so happens to be that lovable, laughable, super suave Texas Ranger, Daniel Vigil. Yep, he's donned his quiver and arrow, and he's about to start shooting some Cupid-style arrows in our direction this time around. So, if everyone could just please sit back, grab your favorite drinks and snacks, and your favorite special someone, and enjoy the program. Daniel, the microphone is yours.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the listening audience. Welcome to my favorite venue and this 2015 Valentine's Day edition of Michael's Saturday Surprise. In honor of those we love, those in love, and those who one day will love, Daniel's Den would like to present something from the Theater of Romance, broadcast on January 23rd, 1945, entitled Ball of Fire.
Colgate Tooth Powder brings you the Theater of Romance. Tonight, Shirley Booth in Ball of Fire. Tonight and every Tuesday night, Colgate Tooth Powder brings you the Theater of Romance with your favorite stars and your favorite stories and plays. And here is your host to tell you about tonight's play, the comedy Ball of Fire, starring Shirley Booth.
Good evening. As our story opens, we find ourselves at the Walter Lamb Foundation in New York. Seven elderly professors and one youngish one are engaged in the compiling of an encyclopedia. The youngest, one Professor Bertram Potts, is at the present occupied in composing an article on slang for the encyclopedia.
Gentlemen, I'm going out this evening. I have a little research to do.
Really, Professor Potts? I thought your article on slang was finished.
I tore it up last night.
Why?
I had a little talk with Mike the garbage man yesterday. You know, he used words I never heard of. Do you know what a smackaroo is, Audley?
I can't say that I do.
Well, a smackaroo is a dollar, pal.
Oh, really? I never would have guessed it.
So is a simoleon, a fish, a buck, and a rug. I wrote 23 pages based on reference books 20 years old. Take smooch, take dish, take gate, take hoity-toit. Not one of them concluded. So, I'm going to see a ball of fire about it.
A what?
A ball of fire. English translation, smart tomato. Mike says she'll put me right in the groove.
Where do you find this ball of fire?
She sings at a nightclub. I'm going down there tonight. Her name's Sugar Puss O'Shea.
Hello, Gertie.
Sugar Puss, you got to scram out of this club right away on account of Benny the Creep had an accident.
Serious?
Sorta. He's dead.
Gee, that's too bad, but what's that got to do with me?
The DA's just picked up Joe Lilac, and now he's looking for you.
Me? Why?
Well, you're Joe's girl, ain't you? He told him he was with you all last Sunday.
Well, he wasn't.
That's why he don't want you picked up, Shuggy. So you gotta hide out.
Yeah? Who is it?
I wish to see Miss O'Shea in regard to an investigation I'm conducting.
Uh-oh. Just a minute. Get in that closet, Gertie. I'll get rid of him.
Okay.
How do you do, Miss O'Shea?
Hello.
I hate to intrude like this, but mine is a very thankless task.
So Stop beating up with the gums. What is it?
What was that?
Get this. I don't know from nothing.
But you do. Every word you say proves as much. You're just the person I'm looking for.
Who are you, anyhow?
I am a professor of English, B.A. Princeton, 1933, M.A. Harvard, 1934, Ph.D., University of Cambridge.
Oh! I see. Just a square from Delaware. What is this investigation of yours, Professor?
Slang. Current slang. Would you object if I used you for observation and study? If I could have your assistance for your days, it would be ideal.
Shove in your clutch. I won't be here after tonight.
Well, if you could change your mind by any chance, here's the address, the foundation. It's my residence as well.
All right now. Scraw, screw, scram. Oh,
the whole conjugation.
Say, will you?
All right, I'll scraw. Good night, Miss O'Shea.
All right, Gertie. You can come out now.
We've got to get you out of here tonight. Sugar Puss.
Where am I going, home?
No, you can't go there. They'll have it covered.
Well, just what do you suggest I do?
Let me see the card that professor gave you, Sugar. I think maybe I got an idea.
That's our doorbell.
Oddly, Lancet. Go on, Potts, go on. We all got out of bed to hear the results of your research, so please continue with it.
It seems the word puss means face, as, for instance, sour puss, pickle puss. Sugar puss implies a certain sweetness in her appearance.
Oh, quiet. Oh, my goodness.
Look what I found.
Hello. Hello, kid. I considered your proposition, Professor Potts, and I said to myself, oh, who am I to give science a brush? So here I am.
Miss O'Shea, these are my colleagues. I must apologize for the lack of costume.
Oh, that's all right, Professor. Gee, I've seen men in dressing gowns before. I used to watch my brother shave.
Won't you sit down?
Oh, thanks. Ooh. Hey, look at all the books. Greek philosophy, huh? I got a set like that with a radio inside. How do we start, Professor?
Very simple. If you'll be here tomorrow morning, not later than 9:30.
Tomorrow morning?
Yes.
Okay. Where do I sleep?
What do you mean?
Where do you sleep? Where's your home?
Up on Riverside, but I'm going to stay here.
Here? Oh, just a moment, Miss O'Shea. We're all bachelors except Professor Oddly, and he's a widower. There are certain conventions which even the most free-thinking society must respect.
Come here, kitty. Look down my throat, will you?
Your throat?
May I?
Help yourself.
What is it, Professor Mangenbrook?
There is possibly a slight rosiness in the laryngeal region.
You bet there is. It's sore. Say, who are you?
Professor Mangenbrook is our physiological expert. And this is Dr. Gurkakoff, and this is Professor Robertson.
Oh, not so fast. Just let it creep up on me.
How do you do?
Come here, Professor. Physiology. You know, for all I know, I got a fever. Feel my forehead.
Yes, it's quite possible.
I'm cold and wet and my throat's sore.
Dear me.
Yeah, he wants to throw me out in that rain now.
Really, I don't understand you, Potts. Why take chances?
This is valuable material. Think of your article, Bertram.
If I may venture a suggestion.
Why, yes, Professor Oddly.
I can bunk in with Professor Robertson. Why couldn't the young lady stay in my room?
Why, thanks. That's wonderful of you, Professor Oddly. I accept with gratitude.
This is highly irregular. Think of the reputation of the encyclopedia.
What are you talking about? This is research. Who was that guy who learned so much from watching an apple drop?
Isaac Newton, 1642 to 1727, the law of gravity.
That's him. I want you to look at me as just another apple, Professor Potts. Just another apple. What are you looking so unhappy about?
I was thinking of still another apple that grew in the Garden of Eden.
Use Colgate tooth powder. Keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it at night. Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
Romance is the frosting on the chocolate of love. It's the cherry in the sundae, the spice in the cake. It's the very sweetness of love. Wouldn't you hate to have that sweetness go sour? Well, take care to keep out the love thief, that little breath of trouble. Yes, I mean unpleasing breath. What to do? Why, it's very simple. Just brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. Yes, night and morning and before every date. Because scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. And let me tell you, no dentifrice at any price will clean your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate tooth powder. Reasons enough, wouldn't you say, to buy Colgate tooth powder. Remember the name, Colgate tooth powder, with the accent on powder. Why not get it tonight?
Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
Now the second act of Ball of Fire, starring Shirley Booth, with Sidney Smith as Professor Bertram Potts. 3 days later, Professor Potts is still earnestly conducting his session on slang in a library.
Thank you for a most illuminating dissertation on the phrase nerds to you. I'm very grateful to you. There is one word I would like to take up now. I think you used it only yesterday in reference to my cuffs. The word is corny.
Sure. Your cuffs are corny.
Because of the cornstarch in them?
Because this is 1945.
Mm-hmm. So, corny means old-fashioned.
Sure. And there's lots of kind of corn, Professor. Giving a girl your fraternity pin. I'll keep it forever. That's corny, too.
I see.
Or take a joke. That's no lady. That's my wife. That's corn right off the car.
Right off the car.
Yeah, and when a guy comes to see a girl and says, "Let's turn off the light. It hurts my eye." That's corn.
The implication is that the guy was trying to pull some hoity-toity.
Ah, that's right. You're catching on, Professor.
Corn is old-fashioned, countrified, sentimental.
Yeah.
All right. Let us continue with the word screwball.
Well,
will you excuse me, Bertram? There's someone waiting to see Miss O'Shea in the parlor.
Waiting to see me?
All right, Miss O'Shea. You may go.
Thank you.
Hello, sugar.
Oh, Gertie. Gee, I was afraid you were someone from the DA's office. I read in the papers that Joe's out. Do I have to stay in hiding anymore?
Yeah, the DA's still laying for you, sugar. Joe's lawyer sprung him. But if the DA can find you and prove that Joe wasn't with you at the time Benny was killed, that is the end.
Don't Joe trust me?
Oh, sure, sure, sugar. He said to tell you he wants to marry you as fast as we can work it out.
Is it love or... because a wife can't testify against her husband.
Oh, what do you care? The wedding's got to be a fast one, over in Jersey someplace. Joe says for you to lie low and to stick close to the Amici.
The what?
The telephone. Joe will call around 10 o'clock.
Okay, 10 o'clock. I'll be waiting.
Miss O'Shea, now that you're better, I must ask you to leave.
Leave? Why, Professor?
Miss O'Shea, I want you to look at our project, I mean the encyclopedia, as a voyage. A long, hard, tedious voyage from A to Z. For the last 4 days, we have been drifting, Miss O'Shea. The needle of the compass doesn't point to the magnetic pole anymore.
No? Where does it point?
To your ankles.
Oh. Oh, come. Well, these are a bunch of grown men.
That's just it.
Yeah, but, how about your slang? There's a lot of words we ain't caught up with. For instance, do you know what this means? I'll get you on the Amici.
No.
The Amici is a telephone. You know, on account of he invented it.
Very interesting. And make no mistake, I shall regret the absence of your keen mind. Unfortunately, it is inseparable from an extremely disturbing personality.
All right, Crabapple Annie. I'll leave sometime tomorrow.
Crabapple Annie. That implies I'm puritanical and narrow-minded. I'm not. I'm a perfectly normal man with perfectly normal instincts.
But with an awful high Berlin prank.
Not even that. I, too, have been acutely aware of your presence. Twice, to be exact. Once when you leaned over my shoulder to correct my spelling of the word hepcat. I could feel your breath in my ear. Then yesterday afternoon, you happened to stand against the window with the sunlight in your hair.
And what did you do about it?
I left the room, dipped my handkerchief in cold water, and applied it to the back of the neck right here. Right here, where the nerve center is.
Oh. Well, I guess the time has come for me to spill it. Professor, why do you think I came here in the first place?
To assist in the research.
I did not. I came on account of you. Because I wanted to see you again. I couldn't stop thinking about you after you left my dressing room. I thought you were so big and cute and pretty.
Pretty?
That means handsome, you big dope.
Handsome? Me?
Bertram, put your arms around me. Just once. Just once. You know, to see if you like
it. No, sugar, no, no, no.
Now, don't start looking around for some water. Come on, Bertram, put your arms around me.
Well.
Yeah, that's better. That didn't hurt a bit. Did that hurt? Now, I think as long as you've got your arms around me, that you might just as well kiss me.
Well.
Oh, Bertram. Come on, let's try that again.
My dear colleagues, Miss O'Shea and I have something to tell you all. We're in love and we're going to be married.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Hello. Who's calling, please? Thank you. It's for you, Sugie. It's your daddy calling, he said.
Daddy? Oh. Hello? Hello, Daddy. Where are you?
Some whistle snort in Jersey. How you been, Sugar? I hear you've been hiding out with the Seven Dwarfs.
Yeah, and it's kind of indicated I better get out quick. One of the professors got off the beam a little. A slight case of Andy Hardy.
Yeah? Hey, listen, babe, everything's set. Got the license and the Justice of the Peace lined up. I'm trying to figure out how to get you here.
Sugar, if you don't mind, dear, I'd like to have a few words with your father.
Oh, all right, Bertram. Daddy, That professor I was telling you about wants to talk to you.
Oh, I can't wait.
Mr. O'Shea, my name is Bertram Potts.
Hello, son.
I judge your daughter has told you of my aspirations in her regard.
Oh, please, Bertram.
Son, you've just given me a great idea. I don't know whether Sugar Puss told you, but, well, she's our only child.
I'll do my best, Mr. O'Shea, to make her happy.
Mother and I would like to meet you. Suppose you bring the kid right out here. We can have the ceremony right here in our hometown of Rancocas. Let me speak to Sugar, will you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll do that. I'll bring her to Rancocas tomorrow. Your father wants to talk to you, Sugar.
Yeah?
Okay, Sugar. This solves your transportation problem. Don't forget to wear a nice thick veil over your face and bring a couple of the other old beavers along in the car.
But listen, Daddy. Maybe there's some other way. I don't want to take him for that kind of a ride.
It's all right, Sugar. I'd like to ride. I'll take a couple of days off.
Oh, we'll all go, all of us.
Listen, Sugar, there's an auto court just outside of town called the Friendly Stopover. You get there by tomorrow evening, we'll be there sometime during the night. I'll see you later, Sugar. Good night.
Daddy! Joe! Daddy! Oh.
Careful, Sugar.
Fudge!
Is your cabin comfortable, Audley?
Oh, extremely. It's a friendly stopover, and what a charming place it is, too. How's your cabin, Bertram?
Oh, fine. Well, something wonderful has happened to me. I'm a man in love, and it's the first time in my life. I want to crush her in my arms. I think of her every waking moment. Why, I don't even know my tenses anymore. I've gone goofy, completely goofy, bim, buggy, slap, happy.
Oh, Bertram. Bertram, darling.
Oh, Sugar, you were listening.
I couldn't help hearing. I was just passing outside. Oh, Bertram, I'm so glad to hear you. You changed everything in the world for me, you big stupid oaf. You just changed everything in the world. You know what that means in your language?
I know what that means in any language.
I love you. Oh, Bertram, I love you.
Bertram, Bertram.
Shh, can't you see he's busy?
But this is more important than that. You're wanted right away in my bungalow, Bertram. Right away, please.
All right, Professor Mangenbrook.
I'll come with you.
No, Miss O'Shea, you stay here.
¶¶
Bertram. I figured you'd look like these other squats, but I see you're younger. I'm Sugar's daddy.
Oh, yes, of course, Sugar's father.
No, wise guy, your boyfriend, Joe Lilac. It's kind of counting on Sugar to tell you the score.
He's trying to say this entire wedding trip of ours is one vast lie.
I don't understand.
It seems, my dear Bertram, that Sugar Puss has been using us to circumvent the police.
I don't believe it.
Sorry you got took for a ride, Bertram, but you got took, so here's a century to cover all expenses. Now I'll collect my bride and get going.
If you're referring to me, Joe Lilac, you're laboring under a misapprehension.
Well, hello, Sugar. What do you mean?
I mean we ain't getting married, Lilac, now or ever. Here's your ring.
Sugar.
Bertram, I got a lot of explaining to do to you, if you'll let me.
I don't want any explanation, Sugar.
You don't mean you're going to marry this fugitive from Take It or Leave It?
I'm going to marry him.
Why?
For a reason that'll seem very funny to you. I happen to love him. No, I don't expect you would understand. I don't exactly understand it myself, but I'm a changed person, Joe. Now, you get out of here.
Don't forget, the police are looking for you, Sugar.
Don't you forget it, Joe. I don't think they'll have much interest in Mrs. Bertram Potts if you don't have any interest in her. So long, Joe.
Okay, Sugar, if that's the way you want it. But I think you're nuts. So long.
I'll leave you two alone.
Bertram, I owe you a very big apology.
You just made it by sending Joe Lilac on his way.
Oh, darling. Darling, you know, I could tell Isaac Newton a few things myself. About how an apple falls, for example.
How's that, darling?
Like a ton of bricks, brother. Like a ton of bricks. Come on, Bert. Let's go outside and hold hands.
Isn't that a little corny, darling?
No, darling, it's only corny when someone else does it. When we do it, it's on the beam. Slightly terrific and...
Out of this world?
Yes, darling. Out of this world.
Use Colgate tooth powder, keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it at night. With every date, use Colgate
to. It's strange what's happened to Molly. She used to be so jolly, so gay and lighthearted. Everyone liked her. But now she's melancholy Molly, and the only dates she gets are the eating kind. A little breath of trouble has made her unpopular. Well, what a pity, because if she only knew it, she could do something about this breath of trouble. I mean, unpleasing breath. You can, too. Just brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. In 7 cases out of 10, Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. So use Colgate tooth powder for all it's worth. Money can't buy a dentifrice that will clean your teeth better than Colgate tooth powder. Remember the name, Colgate tooth powder, with the accent on powder.
Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
Next week, Colgate Tooth Powder's Theater of Romance will bring you the charming star of radio, stage, and screen, Miss Mary Astor, in the memorable romantic drama, The Shining Hour, the story of a bride bound by a loveless marriage who falls deeply in love with her husband's brother on coming to the family home.
In tonight's play, Ball of Fire, Miss Shirley Booth starred as Sugar O'Shea. Bertram Potts was played by Sidney Smith. The story was adapted especially for this program by Gene Holloway. The music was composed and conducted by Ben Ludlow, and the entire production was directed by Mark Sloan. Ball of Fire was produced by Samuel Goldwyn, whose latest Technicolor picture is The Princess and the Pirate, starring Bob Hope.
Doctors prove Palmolive soap can bring 2 out of 3 women a lovelier complexion in just 14 days. Yes, 36 doctors, leading skin specialists, prove the 14-day Palmolive plan improves all types of skin. Dry, rough, oily, young, older. Here's all you do.
Wash your face with Palmolive soap. Then massage your face for 60 seconds with Palmolive's lather. Then rinse. Do this 3 times a day for 14 days.
That's all. This cleansing massage brings your skin Palmolive's full beautifying effect. Remember, doctors prove the palm olive plan can bring 2 out of 3 women a lovelier complexion in just 14 days. So see what palm olive can do for your own skin in 14 days. Until next Tuesday night, when Colgate Tooth Powder's Theater of Romance will bring you Mary Astor in The Shining Hour, this is your host saying good night and wishing you love, happiness, and romance. Whose child will be next? What little boy or girl jumping for joy today will tomorrow be struck down by the crippler? The figures are frightening. Last year, infantile paralysis claimed 19,000 victims, mostly children. Thousands were crippled for life. Many more thousands may be crippled this year if you don't help. Your dimes and dollars can help those already crippled and contribute aid for this year's victims. Don't delay. Join the March of Dimes today. Send your dimes and dollars to President Roosevelt at the White House or to your local infantile paralysis chapter. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That was Ball of Fire, broadcast on January 23rd, 1945, from the series Theater of Romance. Last week, on Thursday, February 5th, one of our audience members happened to mention the title of a radio show with the recommendation, "It's a good one." For me, hearing someone give such a glowing reference is as good as a request. So, Mr. Acosta, if you happen to be listening, or you come across this in the archive, we who inhabit Daniel's Den and also appreciate this program owe to you a sincere vote of thanks. Here's Red Light Bandit, broadcast on July 14th, 1949, from Dragnet.
Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
NBC brings you Dragnet.
You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned to robbery detail. A ruthless fiend roams the streets of your city, masquerading as a police officer. For months, helpless citizens have been robbed, beaten senseless, and kidnapped. The criminal is a twisted genius, vicious, cunning. Your job is to get him.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime, investigated and solved by the men who unrelentingly stand watch on the security of your home, your family, and your life. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case from official police files, from beginning to end, from crime to punishment. Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Wednesday, June 4th. It was warm in Los Angeles. We were working the night watch out of robbery detail. My partner's Ben Romero. The boss is Ed Backstrand, chief of detectives. My name's Friday. I was on my way back from communications, and it was 11:13 p.m. when I got to room 27A. Robbery detail.
Oh, hi, Joe.
Hi, Ben. Did you get that message to call home?
Yeah, bad news.
What's the matter?
That doggone kid of mine, Chicken Paw.
Oh, again?
Last year it was the mumps. Year before that, the measles. Every time I get set for a vacation, he decides to catch something.
Well, forget it, Ben. Think what a comfort he's going to be in your old age.
Go ahead, laugh. You'll find out.
Yeah.
How are you, Friday? Romero?
Fine. What can we do for you?
You don't look like you remember me.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Name's Savage, isn't it? George?
Johnny, Sergeant. Johnny Savage. You remember now?
Oh, sure. Those liquor store robberies out in the Wilshire District. About 6-7 years ago, wasn't it?
10 years, Romero. You ought to remember that. You were at the trial.
We testify in court every week. 10 years is a long time.
It's longer in the state pen. It's a lot longer.
Yeah, you cried a little at that trial, didn't you, Savage? You said we beat that confession out of you.
Yeah, that's why I figured I'd drop in for a little visit, kind of apologize to you fellas. You gave me a square deal. I guess I kind of lost my head. I figured I'd apologize.
Oh, that's all right, Savage. When'd you get out?
A couple of weeks ago. I did it the hard way. Served 10 flat. I don't owe him a day.
You find a job yet?
Yeah, Friday. I'm working nights.
What kind of a job?
Laborer in a warehouse, south end of town.
Good. You decided to level?
10 years in prison's a long time. You learn a lot of things. Nights are long, you think a lot. You get things straightened out.
I hope you mean that.
Sure I mean it, Friday. I've got everything straightened out. I know who my friends are, and I know who to watch out for.
You sound like maybe you're on the right track.
I got a figure, Romero. Unlike you two fellas, you caught me red-handed and you sent me up for 10 years.
Well, you did all right, Savage. 5 armed robberies. You got off pretty easy.
You got a break, Savage. Make the best of it.
Sure, I'm not kicking. 10 years, a real break.
That's right.
Well, just dropped in for a little visit. Maybe I'll see you fellas sometime.
All right, Savage. Keep your nose clean.
Sure. No hard feelings.
No.
You just took 10 years of my life, that's all.
There's no such thing as a man going through prison without changing. And Ben and I have seen him switch in both directions. Some men learn their lesson after they land behind bars, and when they're released, they turn into good citizens. Johnny Savage was sour. We made a mental note to check him out later on, and then we went down to the record bureau and pulled his coming out mug. That's about all we had time for, because about an hour later, we started to get busy.
Hot shot, Joe. Grab it.
On the corner of Selma and Naples, the drugstore, 211 and probable attack. On the corner of Selma and Naples, 211 and...
What you got, Joe?
Selma and Naples, 211 and attack. Come on.
Here we are, Joe. Over there on the far corner.
Yeah.
All right.
Come on. We got the story from the victim, the store owner, Mr. Thomas. For the most part, it was the usual rundown of an early morning holdup. There was only one exception.
Oh, I've had young hoodlums try to hold me up before, but there was nothing like this one.
How you mean, Mr. Thomas?
Well, he came in here just before closing, and ordinarily I'd have kept an eye out because that's the time to look for him. But this fella came to the door and said he was a policeman, so I let him in. He looked like a cop. Barged right up to me and the wife behind the counter and pointed a gun. And she screamed, and he hit her in the face with the butt of the gun. Sergeant, it was horrible.
That's the way it started, and that's the way it kept going. Because most of the victims and most people don't realize that as a citizen, they have the right to check on police officers' identification when in doubt. After we got the story from Mr. Thomas and checked the store in the neighborhood, Ben and I headed back for the office.
Attention, all units. At the end of North Baxter Road near Hillcrest, victim of 211 and slugging. Cars 7172, take the call. Code 3. Attention, all units.
That's 4 blocks away from the last one. Let's roll on it, huh, Ben?
Right, I'll hit the siren. You get the light.
By the time Ben and I got up to the end of North Baxter, the men from car 71 were already there. The victim was telling his story. His face looked like it had been through a meat grinder.
Now, we're just shifting the car into second to make the hill when I hear this siren behind me, and I see this red light flashing in the side view mirror. Well, naturally, I pulled over to the curb, and I was just reaching for my driver's license when the cop runs up, yanks me out of the car, and starts clubbing me in the face with the butt of his gun.
Did you get a look at him? Think you can describe him?
No, I'm afraid not. He swung me around and kept me staring into that red light on his car all the time he was beating me. After a while, everything just went black. When I woke up, my wallet was gone, all my money.
45 minutes later, Ben and I were interviewing the third victim, a young housewife out in the Wilshire District. Same trademark.
I tried to tell him I didn't have any money, but he wouldn't listen. He kept holding me by the throat and beating me with his fist like he enjoyed it. Beating me.
Yeah, all right. All right, Mrs. Jameson. Could you tell us how he got in the house?
He came in the front door and rang the bell. I opened the door, but I left the burglar chain on. He said he was a policeman. So when he demanded I open the door all the way, I did. Then he grabbed me.
And you can't describe the man for us, Mrs. Jameson.
was tall. And he had dark hair and big hands. It all was like a nightmare. A horrible nightmare.
Tall, dark hair, big hands. Your guess the same as mine, Joe?
Maybe. Let's wait and see. Come on, let's check with the boss.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. He's waiting for you. In there.
Come on, Ben.
Chief of Detective's Office. Hannon.
Sit down.
Yeah, Skipper.
All right, you two, let's have it.
The guy with the red light?
Yes, the guy with the red light posing as a policeman. Why hasn't he been picked up?
You know as much about it as we do, Ed. We got our first call around midnight. He knocked over a drugstore out on Selma. He hasn't stopped working since.
Didn't you get any definite lead on him? No description, no license number?
Nothing. He's tall, big hands, dark hair, that's all.
Fine. Either of you got any ideas?
Could be anybody, Skipper, with that description.
You're sure it wasn't anybody on the force?
We sent all the victims down to personnel. Lowry showed him the mug book of all police officers. Wasn't one of our men.
Works fast. Drugstore, motorist, a pedestrian, a housewife out in the Wiltshire District. Went right in the house after her. Four of them, right in a row.
Five.
Huh?
There's a 20-year-old kid in the next room. Came in just before you got here. A couple of hours ago, he was sitting in a car with his girl up in Mulholland Drive. This red light bandit comes along, slugs him, and kidnaps the girl.
Kidnaps? She still miss?
Not a trace.
When did this happen?
A couple of hours ago. They brought the kid over from Georgia Street Hospital. We can talk to him now. He's had a bad time. Right in here.
Okay.
Pete, we're going to have to ask you a few more questions.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It feels a little better now.
This is Sergeant Friday and Sergeant Romero.
Hi, Pete.
Hi.
Can you tell us what time the trouble started?
Oh, about 10:30. Sally and I were sitting in the car talking about where we were going on our honeymoon. We're going to be married next month. And then this car pulls up behind us and starts flashing a red spotlight on us, and a guy runs over and pulls open the door. He said he was a cop.
Did you get a good look at his car, Pete?
I think it was a black sedan.
Did you get a look at the man, Pete?
No. No, I didn't. It was pretty dark, and he kept me staring into that red spotlight. It all happened so fast. Then he started slugging me, and I went down.
What happened then?
Well, the next thing I knew, Sally was screaming. He had one hand on her throat, and he had her backed up against the side of the car. He was beating her with the other hand. Some kind of a short billy club. Well, I got up, and I started for him, and he slugged me again. When I came to, Sally was gone.
Anybody check the area up there, Ed?
Yeah, Davis and Griffin. Didn't find a thing.
Oh, Sergeant, you gotta find her. You got to. I wouldn't know what to tell her folks. I wouldn't know what to say.
That's all right, Pete. We'll find her. You take it easy.
Got a hot shot, Ed, up in Summit Road near Westmore. A woman, unconscious. Ambulance follow-up. Possible dead body.
All right, Hannon. Look after Pete here. Friday, Romero, let's go. Up ahead, Romero, to the right.
Okay, Skipper.
Yeah, there's the ambulance and the cruiser car.
You're a lonely-looking spot.
All right, come on.
Hiya, Doc. What'd you find?
Hiya, fellas. Right over here. Just gonna take her in.
Where'd you find her?
Over there, by the side of the road. Somebody driving by saw her. They called us.
Any identification?
This bracelet on her wrist.
To my dearest Sally from Pete. December 25th, 1947.
That's a girl, all right. What are the chances, Doc?
I wouldn't bet on them. Pretty bad shape. Well, have you seen enough?
Yeah. Friday, Romero, call the crime lab and check the area for footprints and tire tracks. I'll ride back in the ambulance with the girl. If she regains consciousness, I want to talk to her. All right?
Okay, Ed.
I'll meet you in the office by 8:30. We're working straight through till we get this guy.
See you at the office, Giver.
What time you got, Ben?
4:07. Long night.
Hey, that car up there ahead. Let's take a look at it, huh?
Black sedan. Hey, look, he's flashing a red spot on that convertible.
Come on.
He sees us, Joe. He's pulling away.
Get that gas pedal down to the floor.
It's already there. He's turning off right.
Hit the siren. I'll get the light. We're gaining a little, Ben. Next corner to the left.
Go.
The fancy driver. Try the alley up ahead to the left.
Must have
turned up that cross street.
Get through the alley and double back on him.
Right.
There he is, Ben. Look out.
Watch it, Joe. Watch it. He's going to ram us.
We got hit just in front of the rear bumper. Our car was forced into the curbing and it turned over. He was real lucky. He kept right on going. But this time, Ben and I were sharing the luck. All we got out of it was a couple of nasty cracks in the head and a few bruises, but it was enough to keep us in a hospital under observation for a day. By this time, Ed Backstrand was fuming. So were the newspapers. During the day we spent in the hospital, a red light bandit went on a real blitz. He pulled 6 more jobs, 1 liquor store, 2 residential holdups, and 3 car robberies. 5 of the 6 victims were slugged and beaten. Davis and Griffin had taken over for Ben and me, and by the time we got back on the job, they'd built up a lead for us.
We've been working with Wilkerson up in auto theft, Joe. He's used 4 stolen cars already. We got the makes and numbers on each one of them.
How about the dark sedan he was driving when he rammed us?
The boys picked it up this morning out on Sepulveda. We're checking it for prints now.
Oh, that's fine, Dave. You got any description on the guy yet?
No luck there, Joe. He works too fast.
Nothing at all?
Well, same as you had. Tall, black hair, big hands. Loves to use them.
Friday, Romero, got a minute?
Okay, Skipper. Check you later, honey.
Sure thing, boys.
Sit down. How do you feel?
Pretty fair, Ed.
A little stiff here and there.
All right, did Davis fill you in?
Up to date.
Okay, I just called the doctor who's handling Sally Wilder, Pete's girlfriend, you remember?
Oh, yeah.
She's been in pretty bad shape since we found her up there on Summit Road. This morning she took a turn for the better. She's conscious, and her doctor thinks she might be able to talk to us a little bit.
Good, when?
About an hour. I cleared it with the doctor and with her family. You'll only be able to stay a couple of minutes, so make the most of them. That's all.
All right, Ed. We'll check with you later.
Hey, Joe, Ben, here's some mail came for you fellas while you were gone.
Oh, thank you, Mike. We're going over to the county hospital. We ought to be back in a couple hours.
Okay. Say, there's been a couple of phone calls, too.
Yeah, anything important?
I don't think so. The guy just called to say hello. Said his name was Johnny Savage. He just called to say hello.
I presume you men are aware of the girl's critical condition.
Yeah, that's right, Dr. Froman.
We saw her before she was taken here at the hospital.
Yes. You understand, of course, that you'll be able to see her for only a few minutes, and please try your best not to excite her, huh?
Right, Doctor.
Sally isn't able to talk. Bad mouth and face injuries, so your questions will have to be answered simply yes or no and nod of the head.
Okay, we got you. We only have a few questions, and we want to know if she can identify the man who beat her from these pictures we've got here.
All right, Sergeant. This way, please.
Thank you.
Sally, these gentlemen are from the police department. They'd like to ask you a few questions. Now, there's no need to be nervous or afraid. Just simply nod your head yes or no. Now, that's fine. All right, Sally.
Sally, did you see the man who attacked you?
Yes. She says yes.
Did you get a good look at his face? You did. All right, Sally, now you can answer these 3 together. Just yes or no. Was he tall? Did he have dark hair? Did he have large hands? He did. Ben.
Yeah, Jim.
Hand me the folder.
Yeah. Here you are.
Thanks. Now, there's just one more thing, Sally. I'm going to show you some pictures now. Take all the time you want before you make up your mind about each one. If you recognize any one of these men as the person who attacked you, just nod your head. All right? All right, fine. Now, good. Here's the first one. No? All right. Here's the next one. No. How about this one? No? All right. Here's another. Do you recognize him? This was the man? Are you sure, Sally? Thank you. That's all. Let's go.
Did you find what you wanted, Sergeant?
Yes, Doctor, we did. Here, it's this one.
Nice looking chap. Who is he, Sergeant?
His name's Savage, Dr. Froman. Johnny Savage. When we got back to the office, we checked in with Ed Backstrand. In 5 minutes, an all-points bulletin and a full description of the suspect was broadcast to every radio car, every motorcycle officer, to every sheriff and law enforcement agency in Los Angeles and Southern California. By nightfall, our manhunt was on. More than a dozen extra patrol units were called in for duty that night, and when they pulled out of the police garage, the name, the picture, and the full description of Johnny Savage was in the possession of every officer. The same for the patrolmen. Whether they walked a beat downtown or out in the residential areas, the picture of Johnny Savage went with them. Everything was done that could be done. On the second night of the manhunt, far out on the edge of town, Johnny Savage, the red light bandit, got his 12th victim, a 63-year-old storekeeper.
Attention, all units. 939 Markham Street, near Clark,
211 and slugging, code 3, ambulance dispatched. All units, 939 Martin Street, Air Park.
Here it is, Skipper. Tie in.
What'd you get?
Wilkerson lifted the prints off that black sedan that rammed Joe and me.
Yeah?
They belong to Johnny Savage.
Yeah, good.
That storekeeper last night. It's a Savage, all right. Victim identified him from his mug.
All right. We got enough in this Savage guy to put him on ice for life. All we have to do now is to get him.
Now, look, the way we figure it, Ed, this red light bandit is using stolen cars with cold plates, so there's no way of tracking down the cars at regular commercial garages. He's got to be running private garages someplace around town.
All right, let's get the neighborhood patrolman on the job. Advertise it. All over town. It's a city ordinance, isn't it? People who rent private garages are bound by law to register the car and license number with the police. Start a campaign if you want, but find those cars.
Right.
Yeah, wait a minute. Hello, Backstrand. Yeah? When? I see. Yeah, thanks.
What is it, Ed?
That was the hospital. About the girl, Sally.
Sally Wilder? What about?
She died 5 minutes ago.
That night, everybody went back on the job as usual. The cruiser cars, the patrolmen, the motorcycle officers, and about a dozen decoy cars. Armed police women riding alone in cars or parked in lonely spots with a police officer escort. Our car, 80K, was still in the garage for repairs, so they assigned us another one. And we started to make the rounds. Everything was usual. Except one thing. We weren't tracking down just a thief anymore or a sadist who liked to beat people's faces in. We were out to get a murderer. It was a perfect night for the suspect. Dark, no moon. I gave Ben 2-1 odds, and I put up $5 that we'd get Savage that night. I lost the $5. We cruised until 7 the next morning, but there wasn't even a nibble. We had breakfast at the Federal Cafe, a little restaurant down the street from the City Hall, and it was about 8:15 when we got back to the office. We were pretty tired.
Robbery detail, Romero.
I would like to speak to Sergeant Friday.
Just a minute. For you, Joe.
Okay, thanks. Friday talking.
Sergeant Friday, I want to talk to you.
Well, I'm listening. Go ahead.
I mean, I want to talk to you in person as soon as possible.
Can't you tell me over the phone? What is it?
I cannot tell you over the phone. It is very important. Can you come now?
Well, now, look, mister, I'm awful sorry, but we're very busy down...
554 Ramona Avenue. Can you come now?
Well, what's this all about? Who is this speaking?
My name is Carl Savage. My son's name is John.
Here it is, Joe. Neat looking little place.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I'm Sergeant Friday. You Mr. Savage?
Yeah, come in.
Okay. This is my partner, Sergeant Romero.
How do you do? I will be brief, gentlemen. I am the father of John Savage. I wish for you to catch him. I will help you.
I noticed the name on the mailbox outside, Mr. Savage. Changed your name lately?
I changed my name 10 years ago when John first got into trouble. My own name I had to change, the shame. Always from him, my son, shame.
Mr. Savage, has your son been home since he got out of prison?
Yeah, many times, to ask for money. I would not give him any, so he struck me. Last night I read in the newspaper the little girl he beat up. She is dead. Then I make up my mind.
Do you know where your son is now, Mr. Savage?
Not now, no. But our garage, there's a car in there. It is not his, I know. Also in the garage, I find many license plates. I find spotlights with red glass lens.
But you don't have any idea where we could find
him. No, but he will come back. He always comes back for money.
We're going to station an officer here in the house, Mr. Savage.
Anything you want, if it will catch him. He's bad, Sergeant. Like something poison. All true, he's bad.
See a sewing basket over him, Mr. Savage. The wife live here with you?
10 days ago, before this starts, I bury Gertrude, my wife, his mother. Sergeant, for 10 years she's sick, but for 10 years she stays alive to see him from prison. 10 days ago, she died. He did not even come to the funeral.
Does your son have any idea that you might call us?
No. No, I don't think so. But when you catch him, give me a gun. With my own two hands, I will kill him, Johnny Savage.
Before we left, we called Ed Backstrand and we brought him up to date.
He sent three detectives out to relieve us, Davis, Griffin, and Marsh. We told them to keep an eye on the house and the stolen car in the garage. That night after dinner, Ed Backstrand, Ben, and I went out and relieved them. We parked the cruiser car in the garage next door, and then we took up our post. Carl Savage had a light supper, and then he went to bed about 9. The three of us sat at the front windows in the darkened house, and we waited. Ben kept his eye on the garage. Outside, across the city, the manhunt continued as usual. 3 hours went by. The waiting got monotonous.
Friday, Romero, look alive, will you?
Oh, yes, Skipper. I'm sorry.
That clock's enough to put anybody to sleep.
What time you got?
12:23 a.m.
Thanks.
The clock kept ticking. We were tired. We took turns keeping each other awake. At 2:10, I looked at my watch, and then I settled back and tried to find some kind of a comfortable position. They started so faintly, it was just like the ticking of the clock. Same rhythm. And then they came closer, and the sounds got out of rhythm. Backstrand's head came up with a snap.
Friday, Romero, you hear that?
Yeah, Ed.
Get up to the window once the curtains. You see anything?
Yeah, somebody's coming.
Savage?
Can't tell. Wait a minute, he's slowing down. Going up the driveway to the garage. He's going inside. That's him.
Come on. Watch it, he spotted us. Went over that fence into the yard.
There he is, Friday.
You hit him, Joe.
Maybe.
He's going for the street.
He's headed for that car, Ed, that sedan up on the corner there.
Yeah, Romero, go back and get the car.
Right, Skipper.
Must have parked up the block before he came around. Where's Romero?
I don't know. Oh, here he comes now. All right, let's go.
Get that radio on, Joe.
It's already on, Ed.
All right, give him a call. Any sign yet?
No, nothing so far. Next corner to the right, Ben. Unit 80K to Control 4. 80K to Control 4.
Control 4 to Unit 80K. Go ahead.
Clear and keep Frequency 4 open. This is an emergency.
80K, roger. Frequency 4, open and clear. Attention, all units on Frequency 4. Stand by. 80K, go ahead.
There he is, Friday, up ahead. Dark blue sedan.
Control 4, we are in pursuit of the possible red light bandit. Suspect is driving a dark blue 1949 sedan. License number in the 7 column. 6-1 Robert, 784. Use caution. Suspect is armed. Code 3.
Attention, all units. Unit 80K now pursuing possible red light bandits. Suspect is driving a dark blue 1949 sedan. License number in the 7 column. 6-1 Robert, 784. Use caution. Suspect is armed. Code 3. Your location, 80K.
Control 4. We are headed east on Wilshire Boulevard, crossing La Brea.
Attention, all units.
Watch it, Romero. Don't lose him.
I see him, Skipper.
Control 4, still pursuing red light bandit. Headed east on Wilshire, now crossing Rossmore.
Attention, all units. Suspect is still headed east on Wilshire, now crossing Rossmore. Suspect is on. Use caution.
That truck pulling out up ahead.
Hit the siren, will you, Skipper?
Yeah.
Hold on to that, please.
Traffic up ahead. He's
got to
slow down.
Control 4. Suspect headed east on Wilshire, crossing Western Avenue, closing in.
There he goes. Took a right down Sherman Alley. The dead end.
Yeah. Control 4. Suspect turns south into Sherman Alley, closing in on suspect.
Attention, all units. Suspect has turned south into Sherman Alley. Suspect is trapped. Converge on Sherman Alley.
There he is, Skipper. Pulling up ahead. He's jumping out.
All right, take the mic, will you, Ed? Here. Come on, Ben.
I'll direct the other cars in. If you need help, holler.
All right, Skipper.
All right, which way to go, Ben?
Down between those buildings.
Come on.
Starting up the back fire escape.
All right, keep him busy. All right, Savvy, come on down.
He wants to go the roof with him.
One more chance, Savvy. Come on down.
No use, Joe. He's heading up for the roof.
Come on. He climbs like a monkey. Come on, let's get him.
Yeah,
here, I'll give you a hand.
Here's the roof.
All right,
where'd he go?
I don't know. Let's spread out. All right, Savage, you're through. Throw your gun out and come out with your hands up.
Watch it, Joe. He's running for the edge. He's going to jump.
I'll get him. All right, up, guy back here.
You lousy copper. You dirty, lousy copper. I'll kill you, man.
You're through, Savage. You're through.
good, you know.
Yeah. Throw the cuffs on, will you?
Yeah, you just betcha. Yeah. You want a smoke?
Yeah, I can sure use one. Thanks.
Quiet up here.
Yeah. I was just thinking.
Well?
Carl Savage, this guy's father.
Mm-hmm. What about him?
Nothing. What would you do, Ben, if your son was a murderer?
The story you have just heard is true. Only the names were changed to protect the innocent.
John Savage was tried and convicted of murder in the first degree. He was executed in the lethal gas chamber at the state penitentiary. You have just heard the sixth in a new series of authentic cases from official files. Technical advice for Dragnet is furnished by the Los Angeles Police Department.
Tonight's program is dedicated to Patrol Officer Robert Steele of the Montana State Highway Patrol, who on the morning of November 2nd, 1947, gave his life so that yours might be more secure.
Dragnet came to you from Los Angeles. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Broadcast on July 14th, 1949. That was Dragnet and Red Light Bandit. This will conclude our MSS Valentine celebration. But before I go, I would like to take this opportunity to invite you to return whenever you see these open broadcast doors. Let me now pass this mic onto a real sweetheart of a guy whose voice can package, wrap, and tie a pretty piece of otherwise plain OTR ribbon into a beautiful bow. Luis, happy hearts to you.
Okay, Dan. Thanks a lot, and great work as usual. Well, folks, that's just about going to do it. So I hope that everyone enjoyed this week's broadcast, our special Valentine's Day broadcast. Hope that Daniel's program are, you know, making you feel, you know, all happy, all lovable, invoking those nice, soft emotions that you get when there's that special someone out there, you know, close by. So, unfortunately, I'm going to have to do what I do at the end of every broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise, and that is wrap things up and shut things down. But don't worry, we will be back again next week at the same time, in the same place. All you need to do is come back and join us. If you have any questions, comments, complaints, or maybe even a request or two, please address them via email to mikeameli@earthlink.net. That's MIKEAMELI@earthlink.net. We will soon be releasing the key and returning the room to you, the listening audience. Please do with it as you wish, for as long as you wish. But just remember, be nice to one another. Otherwise, that gunslinging Texan and this bad boy Pennsylvanian will be paying you a visit. On behalf of myself and the rest of the MSS crew, have a great night, a great weekend, and goodbye.